Welcome to TFP, the Theater Folk Podcast, the place to be for drama teachers, drama students, and theater educators everywhere. I'm Lindsay Price, resident playwright for Theater Folk. Hello, I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. This is episode 152. You can find any links to this episode in the show notes, which are at theaterfolk.com/episode152. Okay, so in our last podcast episode, number, can you guess? 151. Okay. You can find all you need to know about that episode at theaterfolk.com/episode151. Of course, we looked back at theater school 20 years after the fact, 20 years later. So today we're going in the other direction. Today we're talking to Gray Greer, who is smack dab in the end of her theater school experience. She is in her last semester. This is it. School is almost out. So what's it been like? What were her expectations and how were they met or not met? Where does she want to take her theater degree next? And what's her advice for high school students looking at programs? I'll give you a hint. If you're in senior year, it's kind of too late. So all this and more as we reflect forward on theater school. Let's get to it. All right. I am so happy today to be talking to Gray Greer. Hello, Gray.
Hi.
Now, Gray and I sort of know each other because yeah. I know Gray's mom quite well, Carolyn Greer, who is a fabulous teacher. But Gray, you kind of were off to college by the time I sort of started harassing. Spending time with your mom.
Yes, I was.
Awesome. So what we're going to talk about today. So Gray, you are in the last semester of your theater degree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My undergrad. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And so we're going to talk about what that experience has been like for you, what your expectations were before you started your program, and then sort of where you are now and where life is going to lead you. Because I know that we have a lot of folks who listen to this, who have students or who are themselves, are just getting ready to make that choice, that college choice. And lots of folks are like, yep, I'm going to go get that theater degree and I'm going to go take on the world with it. And so look back to where you were in high school, and you did a lot of theater in high school. Yes.
Yes, I did.
And what made you decide that you were going to pursue that further beyond high school?
It was an easy choice, actually. I had always done theater. And when I was younger, I mean, I wanted to be a chef for a really long time. And then I think it hit me in middle school was when I realized that theater is what I wanted to do. And I mean, I remember telling mom that I wanted to do theater, and she was like, "Are you sure? Are you sure this is what you want to do?" And I couldn't imagine doing anything else. And when I was in high school, almost every year, we went to SETC, the Southeastern Theater Conference. And as a junior, you can audition for colleges. And that's what I did. I went up there and did a monologue. And if colleges like me, they would give me a call back and I could go visit their booths and, you know, have more talks with them and more auditions and things of that nature. And I think that's really when I narrowed down where I wanted to go, or at least my top five. Because what people don't realize with theater is that, you know, normal degrees and normal college experiences for people that aren't in the arts, they can choose the last semester of their senior year. But theaters, normally you can't, you know, you need to figure out what you want to do your junior year. And that's something that people normally don't realize, because there's an audition process usually and things of that nature. And then you can figure out scholarships through that. And so as a junior, you know, mom really pushed me to go ahead and audition, and I auditioned at SETC, and I also auditioned at the International Thespian Festival, and those usually have completely different schools, which if people don't know about either of those things, that they should definitely check those out. But I auditioned my junior year, and I really came to love Marshall University, and I I mean, I went to visit Marshall, I think twice, and they were doing a show called Proof, which is a show that I normally really, really dislike. And I remember Mom saying, you know, Gray, if you end up liking this production, then this is the right place for you. And I went to visit, and I saw Proof, and I loved it. And it wasn't just the performance that I loved. It was the fact that, you know, every student that I met there, they were honest with me. They weren't trying to sugarcoat the department. They weren't trying to sell the department to me. They were just being honest with me about, you know, if there were any issues or any concerns that I would have. And it was really, really nice. It felt like a family. I mean, it was an experience that I didn't have with any other college that I, you know, I visited or auditioned at. You know, I auditioned at, I want to say, 4 or 5 other ones, and they were all great schools. Like, I, you know, I'm glad that I had that opportunity, but they just weren't the school for me. And I would really, really encourage any person looking at colleges, especially for theater or the arts in general, they need to go visit that school, and they need to talk to those students, not just faculty, the people that are there taking classes, who are about to be, you know, where you're going to be in a few years. You know, that's something that I really encourage everybody, you know, to do.
And you've hit on a couple of notes that I just want to like retrack over, because there's a couple of things that, first of all, I didn't know you should know as a junior that you should, if you're looking for a theater thing, you shouldn't be doing it by, it's like senior year. You should be thinking by junior year. And is that because of the potential for scholarships? Why is it that it's a year ahead?
Normally it is for scholarships. That's why I do it, because with SETC, your senior year, you don't really get to audition for schools. You audition for scholarships, and you know, most schools already know if they want you or not your junior year. They're already showing interest, and that gives you a full year to have that connection with the school already. And, you know, scholarships is a big thing, because a lot of schools that I learned, I didn't know this before, but I just learned from auditioning, is that they will, if when you audition a year in advance, they'll go ahead and give you that scholarship. So you already know that you're going to have this money when you go to that school. Whereas by the time you get to your senior year, they're trying to find money to give you, and it's not always there. And, you know, having that year in advance is really nice. Really, really nice.
Well, and because colleges has become such this juggernaut of expense for students, like, I think that is a prime thing that people should be thinking about. Like, if you want to go to school, you should be thinking about scholarships, and so you should be taken ahead. And then the other thing that you brought up is that the whole notion of not only visiting, but talking to students. And I think that that's something that I had a discussion with another person about, this whole notion of the sort of the fantasy and the sparkly lights of college, and then the reality of college. And and he said that too, about talking to the people who are going there, and about how that makes the difference, and that they're being honest. Did you have any experiences, without naming school names, of course, did you have any experiences where you got in your gut that they weren't being honest, or that it was a little bit like a package? Or
I went to, I'm not going to say which school it was, but it was a conservatory, and it had been my dream school for a very long time. It was one of my top two ever since I was little. And I was so excited to be there, but it was highly competitive to the point that, you know, the people that are already in college, the freshman and sophomore of that class, were there. And I was just auditioning, and they were watching us, and they were getting in our heads, and it wasn't supportive in the way that I thought it was going to be. And same with the faculty. It was just, everything was, you know, glitter and gold, and it didn't feel real, you know. And that's why when I came to Marshall, I automatically went to the college students, because I was allowed to sit in on classes. And I was like, hey, be honest with me. Do you like Marshall? You know, what's going on here? You know, because I'm looking at coming here, and I don't want, you know, to get my hopes up. You know, I don't want to be told one thing and get here and it's not what I thought, you know. And most schools that I visited were very, you know, very positive and very honest with me. But there were a few that it felt like everything was a commercial, and it didn't feel like home to me. I didn't want to stay there for 4 years.
Well, it's a totally a long time. And I think that's another, I think that it's important when you're picking a school, you have to be very specific about what you're looking for. Like, to you, the first thing that you said was it was like family.
Yeah.
And that kind of atmosphere. And that, like, we have a school here, one school, theater school, where you're not allowed to be on stage until, this may have changed, but when I was around, you weren't allowed to be on stage in a production until fourth year.
Oh my gosh.
And it's like, well, okay, sure. So maybe you're getting a lot of class experience, but the whole point, I think, of a theater degree is that you're prepared to do theater.
Yep.
And it's those little tiny things that well, not tiny, but those things that when you're looking for a school, it's like, what's going to be, how much are you going to, and asking questions just as you did. What is it like? How many performances do I get to do? Are we doing, is this, you know, what's going on underneath the shiny, shiny.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. So your thoughts about Marshall, you're going to Marshall, excited. So what kind of program is Marshall?
Marshall has a BFA, and they just now got a BA, which is kind of neat. They're very method driven. They teach you a bunch of different methods. And that's something that I really had no experience with. I was a huge fan of Anne Bogart growing up. But she is a woman that I kind of admired from afar. You know, I didn't really do much with her. At Marshall, they teach you Meisner and Chekhov and the Alexander technique. And it's really, really neat because it's not something that I was ever exposed to. I mean, I went to a great program in high school, but it just was something that I wasn't prepared for. So that was a culture shock, essentially. And one of the best things I think about Marshall is that they require you to do an internship. You have to do that between your sophomore and junior and your junior and senior year, one or the other. And I did mine, I think it was between my sophomore and junior year. And it's smart. I feel like more schools should do that because you're getting experience in the real world about what you're going to do once you leave Marshall or wherever you're leaving.
Was it a performance internship or a...
No, mine wasn't. Mine wasn't. And I worked at Theater Arts and Dance Alliance in Lithia, Florida. And I got to assistant direct-ish sort of Shrek the Musical. And I helped teach a day camp where we learned things, you know, how to like design a set or design our own costumes. And we did a lot of improv games. And I was there for 3 or 4 weeks. Most people have internships that are 3 months long, you know, and they're actor techs. That's mostly what we get, you know, as interns, you know, for theater. Not a lot of them are acting internships, which is something I was not prepared for as I was looking for acting internships. There's not a lot out there for people that are in college. So I definitely learned new skills. Like I had to help build a dragon for Shrek the Musical, had to help figure that out. And I had to make all of these different props and stuff that I wasn't normally exposed to. So I learned so much, and I'm really glad that Marshall, you know, required us to do these internships, because then I would have never have known that I love doing props, you know. I would have never gotten that experience.
Well, there's so many other, it's such a, you know, and we're going to get into this in a second, but I mean, the real world is quite different than college world.
Oh, yeah.
And for actors, it can be pretty heartbreaking if you've never done anything other than act, you know, like if you've never had any other experience as an artist.
Yeah.
The real world, it can be great and it can be not so great. And, and we're going to come back to that. So let's go swing you back to college. So you had this impression of what life was going to be like. And then you had your first sort of kick in the pants with learning a bunch of different techniques.
Yeah.
What other misconceptions did you have to face for college life?
Oh gosh. Just at Marshall or with college in general?
Well, let's start with college in general and then your program.
Yeah. I realized really quick that most freshmen don't get cast. And I was lucky enough to get cast, so I'm very thankful for that. But it was weird that not everybody got cast. And I came from a program in high school where, you know, you were involved in some way. I didn't have to deal with a lot of rejection, which I was very lucky, you know, because I came from a program where we had enough, you know, opportunities for everybody. Whereas at Marshall and with a lot of college programs, rejection happens a lot more than I realized. And it was hard seeing people that I thought were very, very, very talented and worked very hard who just, you know, weren't getting cast. And that was something that was so difficult for me to handle because these are my friends, you know, these are my colleagues. And it was just very, I don't know, my heart is probably too big to handle it. And I don't know, it was really difficult for me to watch.
Did you get any of the other kind of attitude or behavior from people when you got cast and they didn't?
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially being a freshman and coming in and getting a larger role for a freshman. I was in the Crucible. It was the first show my freshman year. We do four shows a year at Marshall. And I played Mary Warren, which is a decent-sized role for a freshman. And I just remember a few sophomore females who were just not very kind to me. And I made it my mission from here on out to always be kind to anybody that got cast, you know, just because you've got to be. There's no point in being, you know, angry at people because it doesn't devalue, you know, your talent or anything. But
well,
I don't know.
It's assuming, and those lovely young ladies are assuming that if you didn't get the part, they were going to get the part, which
yeah.
is really not the case.
No, not at all. Not at all.
That's a hard thing, man. I think that's the, and then it just, because, and then, you know, like if you go on, you get things in rejection where like, it's a, you know, if it's for a commercial and if you raise your hand the right way, that's what
yeah.
gets you the part where we're 4 years of theater school does nothing to prepare you for the kind of rejection.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So what else? So, okay. So college, you got some rejection. What else? You got some other misconceptions?
I don't know that it was going to, well, okay. Marshall's been difficult in ways, you know, I came to Marshall thinking that I was going to have children's theater because that's what I wanted to pursue. And when I got here, they were kind of like, Gray, we're not really gonna make this happen. And so I was like, okay, then I'll go to another school. And I told them that. And then a semester later, we had children's theater. So thank God for that. But my biggest misconception with college was that not everything is what they say it's going to be. And that's like that everywhere. But you've got to just, there are issues at every school, no matter where you're at. And it may seem like it's only at your college, but it's not. And that's something that I would come home and I would complain about stuff at Marshall. And then mom or whoever else I was talking to would be like, great, this is at every school. These issues are at every school. It's not just you that's feeling this, you know. And I had a lot of issues with professors that I didn't know how to deal with yet. And I'm a very sensitive human being, and criticism of any sort, I didn't quite know how to take, you know, and that was something that I just really struggled with. But once you become your own cheerleader, it's a lot easier.
Yeah,
that's something I learned real quick.
Well, that's a good way to deal with it, because who, you know, if you can't do that for yourself.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
particularly
yeah.
when you're being told, you know, this or the other. Do you? How, what about being an what about just being an actress? Did you have some? Do you have any misconceptions about that going from high school to college?
Yeah. It was different because in high school, I didn't really play the ingenue. I was the quirky best friend or the mom or, you know, something of that nature. And when I got to college, I mean, I remember being at my first audition for Marshall and them asking me the kind of roles that I wanted to play. And I was like, oh, I want to play Carol in the Amish Project. And, you know, I just played Logan Schwartz and Grubinier and Spelling Bee. And they were like, oh, honey, you're always going to play Juliet. And I was so taken aback by that because normally I don't play those roles, you know, from high school I didn't. And so when I got here, you know, I was automatically pinpointed into, you know, the little girl, the cute female, you know, and that's not something that I was prepared for at all. Oh my gosh. And it was an awakening. And which bugged me was that I knew that I could play more than just the ingenue. You know, because I was trained in high school to play, you know, the quirky, weird, emotional person. And so that was definitely a challenge as an actor to figure out, you know, where I stood. And I've learned a lot about type. And I truly don't believe that, you know, we have types, you know, because I feel like I can play a wide range of things. And, you know, I like look at my brother, Tucker, who, you know, is playing all of these amazing roles. And I know that if he went to college, they'd be like, well, Tucker, your type is, you know, the funny guy. And I just see all the roles that he can play. And I get so bugged when, you know, my professors or other people say, you know, this is your type, because I don't think that we should have a type, because I'm not always going to be, you know, 125 pounds and 5'5". You know, one day I'm going to shrink, you know, height, or I'm going to gain weight, or, you know, I'm going to change how I look. I'm not going to stay 22 forever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's been hard.
Do you ever get any comments about your physicality as to like, oh, you better not become 130 pounds or you better not?
Yeah. I got that a lot when I first got to Marshall, and it was never malicious. Like, they didn't mean to say these things in a harsh way. I had a costumer, you know, make a stab at my weight. She was like, you know, Gray, we had to use the big mannequin on you. And she just, and it just like, it floored me, because I've never saw myself as big, you know, I never even,
and
it was just, you know, unnecessary to me. And this idea of weight is just so, I don't know, I just get so angry, because I think that, you know, a girl who's 5'9" and 300 pounds could easily play Juliet. You know, I just, like, it's weird to me that people think, oh, Juliet has to be, you know, 4'2" and a size 0, you know, because she doesn't have to be, you know.
No, it is really, it's very interesting about the slots. And I think the ingenue has the most difficult role of all, because it has such requirements.
Yeah.
It has these ideas that people have about that particular type. And it's like, there's no other type that has to deal with a physical requirement.
No, not at all. And it's frustrating, especially when I'm put in that type, you know, and
against your will.
Exactly. Now I feel like I have this pressure that I can't change who I am, you know. I'm not allowed to dye my hair purple, or not that I would do that, but, you know, I just don't have the freedom to change, because I'm pigeonholed into this type, you know.
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
So now that you are sort of at the end, you talked about being interested in children's theater. Is that still on the cards for life after Marshall?
Oh, yeah. I'm actually thinking, working towards working with babies. That's my long-term plan right now, is to do baby theater. I found in my research, you know, for after school, there's a company in Belfast called Replay Theater Company, and they do most of their theater work is for babies, for children 3 and under. And their motto is art from the very start. And I think that that is so important. And I want to find more companies, you know, in the United States that would be willing to do things of that nature, because, you know, babies and our youth is so important. You know, I have a lot of colleagues that don't see children's theater as important. I just want to shake them and be like, are you kidding me? You know, the children of today are going to be our audience members. You know, we want them, you know, to know that arts, that they're important, and, you know, to be around theater, you know. And so I think right now my current goal is to do baby theater. I don't know if I'm going to go to Belfast or if I'm going to create a program in the United States. So, yeah.
That sounds like an adventure. Like, it just sounds like an adventure. Because then you get into the whole notion of, what does it mean to be an artist? Because the traditional thing is, well, I'm going to get my theater degree and then I'm going to move to a big theater city and then I'm going to do the traditional thing.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily the way to go, is it?
No, not at all. I mean, in August, I am moving to New York, but that's because I'm young and I feel like I need to get out of my system, you know, and I think that there are more opportunities than just, you know, LA and New York. I mean, Atlanta is growing. Cincinnati is growing. Chicago is giant. You know, there's all of these areas that people aren't thinking about. I mean, Seattle, and it's regional theater is so important now that people aren't thinking about, you know. And I think that's something that people need to look into. I mean, I'm from Kentucky and we have, you know, amazing theaters all around the state that people don't even think about or know about. And I mean, all of these young actors that I know right now are thinking, oh, I've got to go to New York to make it big. And I'm like, no, you don't. There's, you know, there's theater closer to home than people realize.
Well, theater is everywhere.
Yeah.
If you choose it to be.
Yeah.
What do you see as you finish up and you're going out into the real world?
Yeah.
What's going to be the what is the role of theater in your life?
Oh gosh. I don't know. It's my sanctuary essentially, you know, or my salvation, I guess. It's, you know, it's something that's always been in my life, but now I get to go out and do it on my own. Like, I'm not required to do it, you know, because I felt like because I've been in school, you know, since I was 7, you know, all I've ever done is school. And at school, there's so many rules and limitations when it comes to even the arts that once I leave, you know, I get to do whatever I want with the arts. And that's so scary, but exciting. You know, my plan is to make a difference with the arts, because I feel like that's what we should be doing, you know, and I'm going to make it, I guess my mission is a better word, you know, for the role it's going to play in my life. It's just to let it consume me to the point that, you know, I can help others, you know, and it's my happy place, you know, so I'm hoping that it'll stay like that.
That's a nice thing to say, because that's, you know, like in high school, we all have such a, it's an idyllic relationship with theater.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then as progressively as you get away from that, it can change, you know, depending on how close you see the underbelly and the scars, as it were.
Yeah.
So I think that's really nice that it's still your happy place.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So as we wrap up here, so as our listeners are folks who are, you know, are just starting the journey that you are finishing, what three pieces of advice would you give students who are starting their journey with the theater program?
Oh gosh. To take every minute, every moment, and to just let it hit you, because, you know, I kept being like, okay, I'm almost done. I'm almost done. I'm almost done. Let's get through this. Let's keep going. When really, now that I'm at my last semester, I'm like, oh my gosh, where did time go? You know, and I kept wishing to go away. And I think it's my biggest advice is just to hold on to it, you know, to just take your time and to not wish it to go away. And my second one would probably be to don't take crap from anybody, to just, you know, take everything with a grain of salt. Don't let, you know, the negatives consume you, because it will if you let it, and you can't let it. And, you know, I guess my last one is, like I said earlier, you know, be your own cheerleader, because you've got to be, you know, if you get to, as you're, for all the listeners, you know, that are in the same place that I was, you know, trying to find a school, and you need to just take care of what you need. Don't let, you know, others influence you. Listen and take it in, but you know what you need, and so you need to take care of yourself and take care of the stuff that you want in school and find the place for yourself. So I guess those are my three pieces of advice.
I think they're lovely. Very
thank
good.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Gray. This has been a lovely chat.
Thank you.
And thanks for talking to me.
No, thank you. I loved it.
Thank you, Gray. Okay, before we go, let's do some theater folk news. Do you ever want to meet us in person? What you say? I know! Ridiculous. No, it's true! We travel to a number of conferences, mostly in the U.S. because it's a conference-a-palooza down there. And we love, love, love. We love meeting the teachers and the students who put on our plays and use our stuff, use our resources. I am not kidding. You have to come up and you have to say hi. We don't bite. We do want to hear from you, and we want to hear about your experiences. It's really awesome. I was just at a conference where a teacher came up to me and gave me a letter from an 11-year-old who was in a play of mine, Betweenity, and it was the most awesome, beautiful letter about someone who kind of thought, who made the play, made her think a little bit. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful thing. We keep a conference schedule on the contact page of our lovely website, theaterfolk.com, and I've also thrown up a link in the show notes, which you can find where? theaterfolk.com/episode 152. Finally. Where can you find this podcast? We post new episodes every second Tuesday at theaterfolk.com and on our Facebook page and Twitter. You can find us on youtube.com/theaterfolk and on the Stitcher app. You can subscribe to TFP on iTunes. All you have to do is search for the word Theater Folk. And that's where we're going to end. Take care, my friends. Take care.